I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This is the Rash Ain Alusha Bedouin community here on the West Bank. It's an area C. Israel has control in this area. But the Bedouins have been here now for more than 50 years. This settlement, which is an outpost in the distance behind us, that's new.
Israeli settler violence continues in the occupied West Bank as top U.S. officials, from Vice President Vance to Steve Witkoff and Secretary of State Rubio, go to what some call BBSit, the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the shaky Gaza ceasefire. We'll speak with Jan Egeland, Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council, just back from the West Bank. Then we look at growing fissures within the Republican Party.
Many times I hate my own party and I blame Republicans for many of the problems that we have today.
As the government shutdown enters its 24th day, House Speaker Johnson still refuses to seat Democratic Congressmember-elect Adelita Grijalva, who would be the final vote to trigger the release of the Epstein files. We'll speak with former Republican political operative Stuart Stevens. Then, at least 15 people have died in the Harris County Jail in Houston, Texas this year, including two this month. Most people in jail have yet to go to trial but cannot afford to pay bail for their release. Now, a new animated musical documentary short film, Criminal, is drawing attention to the crisis.
More than 9,000 people dwell in this waterfront property. Its impressive facade might compel or inspire those with the dough to peek in and inquire. Who wants a condo with a wonderful view right here in downtown Houston? Follow me, I'll show you. Upon closer inspection, let me lift the veil on the third largest hell in America, the Harris County Jail.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations is urging Israel to open the Rafah border crossing to allow urgently needed aid into the Gaza Strip. This comes as 41 aid groups, including Oxfam and the Norwegian Refugee Council, have published an open letter accusing Israel of arbitrarily rejecting aid deliveries into Gaza. The letter says, quote, aid denied by Israeli authorities includes tents and tarpaulins, blankets, mattresses, food and nutrition supplies, hygiene kits, sanitation materials, assistive devices and children's clothing, all of which should be unrestricted during the ceasefire, they wrote. The World Food Program warned it was falling short of its target of sending 2,000 tons of food into Gaza. Meanwhile, the WHO described Gaza's starvation crisis as still catastrophic.
There is increase in amount after the ceasefire, but what is entering Gaza is significantly below the required target. Significantly below the required target. And that also can explain the second, can be an answer to the second question. Is there a dent in hunger level? So if the aid that's entering Gaza is significantly low, it cannot dent the hunger level. And the situation still remains catastrophic because what's entering is not enough.
In Israel, Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with senior Israeli army officials and held a news conference in Kiryat Gat, the site of a new international command center with troops from the U.S., U.K., Jordan and UAE. Rubio said the U.N. Agency for Palestinian Refugees, known as UNRWA, cannot have a role in the Gaza Strip. He called it a, quote, subsidiary of Hamas, unquote. Since the U.S. brokered ceasefire came into effect October 10th, Israel's killed nearly 100 Palestinians and wounded 230 in Gaza. President Trump responded Thursday to the Israeli Knesset's vote advancing legislation that would annex the occupied West Bank.
The West Bank?
Yes.
Don't worry about the West Bank. Israel's not going to do anything with the West Bank, okay? Don't worry about it. Is that your question? They're not going to do anything with the West Bank. Don't worry about it. Israel's doing very well. They're not going to do anything with it.
This follows a Time magazine interview in which Trump firmly opposed Israeli annexation, saying, quote, it won't happen because I gave my word to the Arab countries. Israel would lose all of its support from the United States if that happened, unquote. Separately, Secretary of State Marco Rubio called annexation in the West Bank a, quote, threat to the peace process. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera's reporting a child has died after being wounded by Israeli forces during a raid in the occupied West Bank town of Nablus. UNRWA reports more than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed in settler and Israeli army attacks in the West Bank since October 7, 2023. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast with the Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council. Members of the Israeli opposition are slamming far-right Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich for his what they call harmful comments about Saudi Arabia. Smotrich resorted to stereotypes when he said he wouldn't agree to a normalization deal with Saudi Arabia if it required Israel to recognize a Palestinian state.
If Saudi Arabia says to us, normalization in exchange for a Palestinian state, friend, no thank you. Continue riding camels on the sand in the desert. And Saudi Arabia, we will continue to develop, really, with economy and society and state and all the great and wonderful things that we know how to do.
Smotrich has since apologized for his comments. This comes as President Trump set to host Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman at the White House next month. It will be the Saudi Crown Prince's first visit to the U.S. since the 2018 murder of the columnist Kamel Khashoggi. President Trump asserted Thursday that he had the authority to continue to launch airstrikes against alleged drug boats in international waters without a congressional declaration of war. Since September, the Pentagon says it struck 9 such boats, killing 37 people.
I don't think we're going to necessarily ask for a declaration of war. I think we're just going to kill people that are bringing drugs into our country. Okay? We're going to kill them. You know, they're going to be like dead. Okay.
Trump also denied reports by the Wall Street Journal the U.S. is sending B-1 bombers near Venezuela. Meanwhile, Venezuela's defense minister, Vladimir Padrino Lopez, announced he's deploying armed forces along Venezuela's coastline.
No attempt to destabilize the Venezuelan nation will pass through here. They may send, however, many CIA-affiliated units and covert operations from any flank of the nation, and any attempt will fail, as they have failed so far.
President Trump says he suspended trade talks with Canada over an ad produced by the government of Ontario that criticizes tariffs. The ad features excerpts of a 1987 address by then-President Ronald Reagan warning of the dire consequences of high tariffs, like the 35% tariff Trump has imposed on most Canadian goods not covered under a trade agreement.
High tariffs inevitably lead to retaliation by foreign countries and the triggering of fierce trade wars. Then the worst happens. Markets shrink and collapse, businesses and industries shut down, and millions of people lose their jobs.
In a social media post, Trump lashed out at the one-minute ad calling it fake, writing, quote, based on their egregious behavior, all trade negotiations with Canada are hereby terminated, unquote. Former House Speaker, longtime San Francisco Congress member Nancy Pelosi is warning federal agents they could face arrest by local police if they break California law while carrying out immigration sweeps. In a statement, Pelosi wrote, quote, while the president may enjoy absolute immunity courtesy of his rogue Supreme Court, those who operate under his orders do not. Our state and local authorities may arrest federal agents if they break California law, and if they're convicted, the president cannot pardon them, unquote. In response, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche wrote on X, quote, stand down or face prosecution. No one threatens our agents. No one will stop us from making America safe again, unquote. A group of civil and human rights groups is calling on Immigration and Customs Enforcement to end the jailing of pregnant people and to immediately investigate reports of severe medical neglect in ICE jails in Louisiana and Georgia. A joint letter signed by the National Immigration Project, the ACLU, and others described the shackling of pregnant people during transport, solitary confinement, the denial of prenatal vitamins, inadequate food, and delayed or substandard medical care. They say one woman experienced a dangerous infection after a miscarriage due to ICE's medical neglect. Meanwhile, CNN is reporting the Department of Homeland Security is funneling $10 billion from the Navy in order to construct a sprawling network of migrant detention centers nationwide, funneling to the Navy. A source tells CNN the jails could hold as many as 10,000 people apiece. The federal government shutdown has entered its 24th day. It's now the second longest in U.S. history, rivaled only by the 2018-19 shutdown during Trump's first term. On Thursday, the Senate rejected competing partisan bills to compensate some federal workers who've gone without pay since early October. This comes as at least 36 states are warning they're preparing to suspend November payments to SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities warns that would leave about one out of every eight people in the U.S. without food assistance, including some 16 million children, 8 million older adults, and 4 million people with disabilities. New York Attorney General Letitia James is set to appear in federal court in Virginia today. She's expected to plead not guilty to charges she lied in her mortgage application. James has said that she plans to ask the federal judge to dismiss her case on the grounds the U.S. attorney in Eastern Virginia, Lindsey Halligan, was unlawfully appointed by President Trump. Last month, Trump forced out Halligan's predecessor, the Trump-appointed Eric Siebert, after he refused to bring indictments against James and the former FBI director James Comey. The Trump administration finalized plans Thursday to open more than 1.5 million acres of Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, ANWR, to oil and gas drilling. The Interior Department also announced the first oil and gas lease sale with the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska since 2019, and it approved a more than 200-mile industrial road through Alaska's Izembek National Wildlife Refuge. Environmentalists condemned the announcements. In a statement, the Alaska Wilderness League wrote, quote, opening the entire coastal plain of the Arctic Refuge to drilling would destroy one of the most ecologically significant landscapes on Earth, the birthing grounds of the porcupine caribou herd, vital habitat for polar bears and migratory birds, and sacred land for the Gwich'in people who have stewarded its resources for millennia, unquote. President Trump Thursday pardoned the convicted founder of the cryptocurrency exchange Binance. Changpeng Zhao pleaded guilty in 2023 to enabling money laundering while he was CEO of Binance. According to the Wall Street Journal, Binance struck a deal with World Liberty Financial, the Trump family's crypto startup, which has generated $4.5 billion since Trump returned to office. Binance also reportedly hired lobbyist Charles McDowell, who's a close friend of Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr. Republican Senator Tom Tillis blasted Trump's pardon, saying it sends, quote, a bad signal. When asked about Zhao's pardon, President Trump said, quote, I don't know, he was recommended by a lot of people. The Trump administration's released a list of wealthy donors and corporations funding President Trump's $300 million construction of a 90,000-square-foot ballroom at the White House. Among the donors are Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Meta, Palantir, Lockheed Martin, and more. Alphabet, the parent company of Google, is contributing $22 million after settling a lawsuit Trump filed against YouTube for banning him from the platform after he incited his followers to attack the Capitol on January 6, 2021. On Thursday, the Secret Service shut off public access to the Ellipse, a public park adjacent to the White House, one of the only spots to view the demolition. Photos show the entire East Wing has been knocked down. President Trump says he's canceled plans to send federal forces into San Francisco. On Thursday, Trump wrote on social media he'd been talked out of his plans for what he called a surge after he spoke with his friends, the CEO of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, and the CEO of Salesforce, Mark Benioff. Trump's sudden reversal came as protesters rallied outside a U.S. Coast Guard base in the San Francisco Bay, where more than 100 federal agents were reportedly preparing to ramp up immigration raids. Police used flashbang grenades to drive protesters away from an entrance as Customs and Border Patrol vehicles drove through. Separately, city officials joined protests at San Francisco City Hall. This is Laura Valdez, director of Mission Action, which works on behalf of low-income and immigrant communities.
Please remember that this might be the start of mass enforcement in our communities, and we need to prepare adequately. And even if it is not the start, we still need to be prepared, and this community is here to back you up.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Israel today as the Trump administration piles pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on the fragile Gaza ceasefire deal. A parade of top Trump officials held meetings with Netanyahu in Israel all week, starting with U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, then Vice President J.D. Vance. Just before broadcast, Secretary of State Marco Rubio held a news conference at Kiryat Gat in southern Israel, a newly opened international central command surrounded by military troops, on what is his latest visit to oversee the implementation of the Gaza deal. Despite Israel's repeated ceasefire violations, Rubio praised the troops, saying, quote, a lot of good progress is being made on a number of fronts, referring to Trump's 20-point so-called peace plan for Gaza. When asked whether UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, would be involved in humanitarian efforts in Gaza, Rubio responded no and referred to the agency as a subsidiary of Hamas. Rubio's remarks came after a ruling by the International Court of Justice this week saying Israel has not, quote, substantiated its allegations that a significant part of UNRWA's employees are members of Hamas, unquote. Rubio was also questioned about escalating Israeli settler violence in the occupied West Bank, including against U.S. citizens. This is Rubio responding.
A series of settler attacks against a village full of American citizens in the West Bank called Termasaya. I was just wondering if you had seen any of the videos of these attacks.
I'm aware of the incidents, and I've seen, I mean, not recently, I've seen them, some of the ones that have been posted and some of the things on social media. Our embassy has worked on that topic and has expressed a U.S. opinion to the government. Obviously, the safety and security of Americans anywhere in the world is something that will be important to us. So, we've expressed our position directly to the Israelis.
As the Israeli Knesset Thursday voted to annex the occupied West Bank, in his news conference in Kiryat Gat, Rubio called the move, quote, a threat to the peace process. President Trump's also rejected Israel's plans to annex the occupied West Bank, saying in a recent interview with Time magazine, it won't happen because I gave my word to the Arab countries. Israel would lose all of its support from the United States if that happened, Trump said. He spoke on Thursday.
The West Bank?
Yes.
Don't worry about the West Bank. Israel's not going to do anything with the West Bank, okay? Don't worry about it. Is that your question? They're not going to do anything with the West Bank. Don't worry about it. Israel's doing very well. They're not going to do anything with it.
Trump's remarks came as Vice President J.D. Vance said he's personally insulted by the annexation vote, which came during his visit to Israel.
It was a very stupid political stunt, and I personally take some insult to it. The West Bank is not going to be annexed by Israel. The policy of the Trump administration is that the West Bank will not be annexed by Israel. That will continue to be our policy. And if people want to take symbolic votes, they can do that. But we certainly weren't happy about it.
This all comes as the United Nations is urging Israel to open the Rafah crossing to allow urgently needed humanitarian aid into Gaza. Over 40 aid groups, including Oxfam and the Norwegian Refugee Council, have published an open letter accusing Israel of arbitrarily rejecting aid deliveries into Gaza. In a minute, we'll be joined by Jan Egeland, Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council, who's just returned from a trip to the occupied West Bank. This is a clip of his visit.
This
This is the Rash Ain Alusha Bedouin community here on the West Bank. It's an area C. Israel has control in this area. But the Bedouins have been here now for more than 50 years. The settlement, which is an outpost in the distance behind us, that's new.
We go now to Amman, Jordan, to speak with Jan Egeland, Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council. Jan, thanks so much for being with us. If you can start off by talking about that trip you just took, two-day visit to the West Bank, which you say is, quote, being intentionally and brutally carved up. Explain, as people focus on Gaza, what's happening in the West Bank.
No, indeed. I mean, I was there 3 years ago the last time. I've been there now for more than 30 years altogether. And I was shocked to see how many new illegal settlements are strategically put on all hilltops in large parts of the countryside in the West Bank, at the same time as the thugs, the violent settler gangs from these settlements attack every single day Palestinian rural communities, very vulnerable Bedouin communities, torch their houses, torch their mosque, their school, steal their livestock, and divert their water. So you see how the place is annexed. And the occupation deepens, because this is occupied land every single day now. And it's changing as we speak. After the 7th of October, 2 years ago, when Hamas did these atrocities, horrific atrocities in Israel, I think the settler movement felt they had a free hand to do whatever they wanted on the West Bank. And it happened in the shadows of the war in Gaza.
And what do you make of the vote in the Knesset around the annexation of the West Bank? You just heard Vice President Vance saying he took it as a personal insult, and Trump saying it's not going to happen. But it happened. The vote happened.
It did happen. And of course, ministers in the Israeli cabinet are very outspoken on their ambition to annex formally the West Bank. And we're very glad that President Trump, Vice President Vance, Secretary Rubio all say it will not happen. There will be no formal annexation of the occupied land on the West Bank. In reality, a lot of things are happening on the ground. So, I mean, every single day, Palestinian houses are demolished. Every single day, the communities are attacked. Every single day, people are beaten up. Thousands of olive trees are uprooted. I mean, it's happening as we speak. And I would encourage, really, U.S. and European and other decision makers to take a tour with us and see what's happening in the West Bank, because the injustice is just enormous.
I wanted to go to the UN Humanitarian Affairs Office, saying it's documented 71 attacks on the occupied West Bank by Israeli settlers against Palestinians and their property in just 1 week. Among the victims is a 55-year-old woman who was hospitalized with a brain hemorrhage after she was beaten unconscious by a masked Israeli settler wielding a club.
We were picking olives, then a vehicle passed by. It kept on going by. Then a woman started screaming, "Settlers," but we didn't see them. They were hiding between the olive trees. She told me, "Settlers, settlers." Then me, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, and my son ran away from the area. I was looking around, and I saw around 20 settlers, and they started beating me on my head. I fell to the ground, and I couldn't feel anything. They continued beating me. I didn't see anyone, and then two people came and carried me.
Independent journalist Jasper Nathaniel, who filmed Sunday's violence against Palestinian olive farmers in the occupied West Bank village of Termuz Aya, compared the Israeli settlers' attack to a lynch mob. Jasper Nathaniel and a group of Palestinians were then chased by a swarm of Israeli settlers carrying stones and clubs. Jasper Nathaniel is a U.S. citizen. Also with him, a Palestinian man, Yasser, get into a car as settlers then try to smash the back window.
Press! Press! American press! American press! Press!
You're literally right behind it. Oh, he's right here. He's about to smash your window. Here he is. Here he is, Gary. Yeah, there it is. Are the doors locked?
So that's Jasper Nathaniel, the American journalist. Jan Egeland, if you can respond. I mean, so far this year, there were over 750 Israeli settler attacks, which is a 13% increase over last year. What are you calling for now at the Norwegian Refugee Council?
We're calling for for international law to be exerted on the West Bank. I mean, the occupation has to be lifted. It has now been there in place since 1967. I would urge the Western governments and NATO countries who are so outspoken, rightly, against the Russian occupation of Ukraine. We support Ukrainian war against the occupier. Why is this tolerated when it happens on Palestinian land? It is occupation. So there has to be action where humanitarian workers on the ground, where they're every day trying to defend these people, but we're unarmed. We cannot really fight these settler mafias that are well armed and who work with impunity. Every time I met these people who had these hair-raising stories, the Palestinians, I asked them, but why don't you go to the Israeli occupation forces, to the police, to the army, Israeli army? And they say, we do that all the time. And they laugh at us, or they take down the report, and then they come back and say, we investigated, and we found there to be no stealing of 1,000 sheep, which is now clearly in the hands of the settlers, and then if you come with false accusation, you will be in prison. So they feel there is impunity for the settlers, and that's one of the things I think the allies of Israel should be able to change.
And I wanted to end with the last question to Marco Rubio today in his press conference in southern Israel. He was asked about the video of attacks on Palestinians in the West Bank and also the attacks and killings of Palestinian Americans. He said, we've expressed our position to the Israeli authorities. We care about Americans everywhere. So let's turn to this father of a 16-year-old American, Palestinian American, Mohammed Zahar Ibrahim, demanding the U.S. government free his son from an Israeli prison.
Anybody that's in the U.S. government, their duty is to bring home any American citizen. And you know, Israel prison is one of the worst prisons in the world. People ask, yes, don't we get 10 minutes a day outside for the rest of the cell, crowded cell? A cell that fits 8 people, they have 16 in there. So from day one, they said, we're working on it. And they, you know, then you go to for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, for 8 months. He missed about half of last year's school. He's missing this year of school. There's no progress, you know. So I think the U.S. government either do something or admit you can't do nothing.
So final question about the number of Palestinians who are imprisoned right now. This, an American father appealing for his American son, who just turned 16 in Israeli prison, to be released in an Israeli prison. Your response, Jan Egeland?
Well, I would say that these are people in the thousands that have been in detention with no law, no sentences, no trial for a very long time. This is administrative detention very often, some liken it to hostage taking. They should be released, really. or put before a trial of law and then to be proven to be criminals. If not, release them.
I want to thank you very much for being with us, Jan Egeland, Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council, just returned from a two-day visit to the occupied West Bank. Next up, we look at the growing fissures within the Republican Party with a former Republican political operative. Stay with us.
Gonna lay down my sword and shield
down by the riverside.